This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Let's go. 12 points in
the head coach.
Again, his speed, you can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, I'm ready to eat some crow. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. I called it 11 days ago when the Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Chicago Bulls at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. I said, everybody calm down. They just came off a winning streak. They knew what they were doing. They're hot. They're feeling the ride with Nikola Mirotic back. It's all right. You get one. You get one at home, you lose to a bad team. You get one, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, I'm ready to go. I'm eating crow. Bucks lose tonight at home to the Chicago Bulls in front of a sellout crowd. You can count whatever percent. I do want to know what percentage you thought it was, Bulls fans to Bucks fans. But 115-106 is the final from the BMO Harris Bradley Center. Once again, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. And I am just stunned. And I'm trying to put into words and not say something that the FCC is not going to like here on the airwaves, or more importantly, my boss isn't going to like. And I'm trying not to be too negative. If anybody knows me, I don't like to be overly negative. I don't think that's always good radio. I think being positive and understanding the positive things about your team and what goes on in an NBA season. I do a baseball postgame show, for goodness sake. I talk after 162 games. So 82 to me, is a breeze. There's going to be ebbs and flows. You're going to have to calm down. You're going to have to understand that teams are going to have to figure themselves out. You turned the ball over 17 times tonight? Ted Davis thought it was more. I know in the third quarter, he counted out 19 turnovers. 19 turnovers, possibly, from the Milwaukee Bucks in the third quarter. Tonight, ESPN is being really, really nice to them. That's the box score I have up. And they're saying 17. The ball handling was sloppy at best. At best. Late in the game, what's been the argument the last couple of weeks? You don't move the ball. The ball stays in one hand. Eric Bledsoe, I get it. You got matched up with Mirotic. You wanted to try to take him off the dribble. But dribbling the ball 30 feet away from the basket, you're not setting him up for anything. Now you get fouled. You got bailed out. But move the ball. Chris Middleton is standing in the wing with Giannis at the top of the key. The three guys that you want to have touch, those three guys, breakaways are different. Fast breaks, different. You get matched up on a pick and roll. It's the first time down the floor. Different. I get it. But for goodness sakes, 50% of the time, at least, those three guys should touch the ball. Two of those three guys should touch the ball on every single possession. Why would you not move the defense at all? I've been trying to figure out how to put it in context of what you saw tonight. And I've been on the air all day, so I am a little bit frustrated, a little bit fired up. I was watching the game while I was doing Hot Stove Weekly. The Bucks are up 6, Bucks are up 8. Cool. Let's keep cruising. Keep the foot on the gas. You know what's going to happen. I wasn't all that worried going into tonight's game. Not at all. It's the Bulls. They beat you the one time. At home, all right, they caught you. They got hot. But now, in 11 days, you knew what you were facing. You knew what you had tonight. And more importantly, you know what you have coming up. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but 414-799 is the phone number. It was a sellout crowd at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center. They were treated to a 115-106 loss. Josh is in Bayview. He's talking first up on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Bummed out, man.
No kidding.
This is, tough to watch. There's just too much talent on this team for them to be playing that poorly. I mean, there's some talent on the Bulls, but it's young talent, and it's nowhere near the talent that what we're supposed to have on our team. It's come to a point now where it's something's got to be said. So we have to make a move. If Kidd can't get positive play out of this talented of players, he can't be here, man. He can't handle the job. If you're playing defense and you're allowing consistently the most threes in the league every game, and teams know that coming in, and you allow it game after game after game, something's got to be said about his coaching. It's not working.
And Josh, it's getting more and more frustrating when you see a team like the Bulls going into every game. I'm now settled down and understand you're going to get out-rebounded, right? Offensive boards are going to be tough. You're playing small most of the night. But the Bulls took 103 shots tonight. 103 shots.
A lot of them are not contested.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I just feel like sooner or later we need to make a move at the coaching spot because it's not working out.
Well, Josh, here's the question that I'm going to pose to all of Bucks fans tonight. Is it stubbornness or stupidity?
Man, I hope it's not stupidity because I mean, it's got to be stubbornness because I think we're relying on long talented players, but it's not working. When the scheme doesn't work, it doesn't matter how talented or athletic or long these guys are. The scheme isn't working. It just doesn't work. Period.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Josh, thanks for the call, man, and hope you had a happy holidays. All right.
Thanks, man. You too.
Josh in Bayview is first up. I mean, there's got to be something different. And I'm still not the guy to come out here and want to fire Beal. I don't talk about that. I don't want to talk about somebody's livelihood like that, especially as freely as some people do. But sadly, I'm in this chair, so I do have to address it like that. And how it goes down is if you can't fix something, if you can't fix what's broken, then you got to go see if somebody else can. Joe's in Cedarburg. He's next on the Fan.
Hey, Josh, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Joe? How's Christmas?
Hey. Man, I can put it in a few words. The Bucks get out-hustled and out-worked. There's no energy from some of these players, you know, towards the in the fourth quarter when they're virtually playing without a center. You can't have Giannis be your center and then he's supposed to be guarding Mirotic. You just can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, what? The Bulls getting over 100 shots. That's plain laziness.
And 103 shots compared to your 83.
Right. And to be honest, I think it's stupidity. You have Kidd, you're up by 20 the other night. There is no reason why you should lose that game. And then, against Cleveland, they're up, 20 plus?
Yep, you're up 20 plus. You allowed them to go on a 24-0 run, I think it was.
Stupid. And then you have, what game was it where Middleton at their free throw line and all he had to do is make one free throw? There's no such thing. I mean, there is a 4-point play, but the guy has to go full court, you know?
Yeah, that was the Cleveland game.
Why would you tell Middleton to miss? It's stupid.
Yep. Couldn't agree more, Joe. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. So he thinks it might be stupidity. It's got to be either stubbornness or stupidity. One of those two has to be the reason why you consistently can't defend the three. Why you consistently are not coming up for big games. Now, Anthony Mandela producing the show tonight, in with me, you pointed out a good one. You get pounded by the Jazz on the road. All right, on the road, you're going to see him again. And you come back out and you take care of business like you should have. Jazz are a below 500 team. You get beat by the Mavs in probably the worst played game you had all year. And then you come back out and you do what you should have done. And you beat them by double digits at home. How, if it's an Eastern Conference team, it's a divisional team, can you not learn the same lesson? And more importantly, both of them were at home. Both of them were at home. You had no reason to lose this game. I understood the first one. The Bulls were rolling, and they were feeling good. I mean, you come off beating Boston in that stretch, and someone's got to tell me why Nikola Mirotic has to go in Chicago. I know there's a lot of Bulls fans coming out of the Bradley Center tonight, so you can call up too as well, because I want to know if it's stubbornness or stupidity on that end, why they want to get rid of their best player. Hands down. Hands down. That dude is a baller. Just because he got his throat knocked in doesn't mean that he can't play for you. That guy can ball. And you know what? I listen to a lot of the guys down on the South Side because I like listening to them complain about their football team. It's actually one of my favorite things to do. And they talk about Nikola Mirotic like the guy's Rashad Vaughn. Like he can't get off the bench. Talking if they can get a second round pick for him. Are you kidding me? I would give up 3 second round picks for Nikola Mirotic right now. I don't care what kind of teammate he is. The dude can shoot. He spaces the floor and plays good defense. So is it stubbornness or stupidity? Because something's going on right now in the Bucks organization and in the Bucks locker room. And we're going to hear from the Bucks locker room as well. Later on tonight, we're also going to hear from Jason Kidd. And a lot of people on Twitter, it is not nice. It's not nice what they're saying about Jason Kidd. We're going to talk about that all next. But it's Sports Flash with Anthony Mandela. And we're coming right back. It's a short break. It's Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Keep it locked. You got the Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is the only station Bucks fans need, and it's Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Tonight, Sparky going to be back on, I believe, Friday night. Friday night, I believe Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is back. I'm going to be in this chair, I believe, on Thursday as well with you. But tonight we're talking about a 115-106 loss to the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls outscore the Bucks tonight by 9 in the fourth quarter. That ended up being the difference as they were tied at 83. And just asking, I don't know if it's a simple question. It's only 3 words. But it seems to be very difficult because it's been racking my mind now for the last couple of weeks. And it's, is it stubbornness or stupidity? Because something has to change. And I'm not coming out here saying, I want to see wholesale changes. The Milwaukee Bucks need to be torn down. No. Something's got to change because you have too many good players on this team to be where you're at. And to consistently be losing to losers like the Bulls. Sorry. They're not that good. But Nikola Mirotic is. And some reason everybody wants to get rid of him. Jim's in Chicago. Jim, why does everybody want to get rid of Nikola Mirotic south of the border?
Oh, that's a darn good question. I have no idea.
Makes no sense.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Some of this it seems like, you know, we'll play really, really well, and then we'll have just a stinker like tonight. And, you know, I got to wonder, What goes on in terms of the motivation of the team? And one of the questions I guess I have with Kidd is he kind of out of his element? I mean, does he really know what he's doing? And what I mean by that is he's a great player. There's no question. He's one of the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you have great players, they don't necessarily know how to coach because it just comes naturally to them, you know? Like, you know, if Michael Jordan tried to coach me up to dunk a basketball, he'd look at me and go, well, just jump up and dunk it. Well, you know, it ain't that easy.
Right.
You know, sometimes the best coaches are the guys that were, you know, middle of the road or maybe even not great players because they had to work so hard at it. So, you know, the question is, does Kidd really know what he's doing?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jim. Thanks for the call, man. Jim's a longtime caller on this station. I like talking to him. And it's a really good point, because while Jason Kidd was a great player, he did mold himself into a great player. Because a lot of people remember Jason Kidd when he came out of Cal, and that guy couldn't shoot a basketball onto someone's roof. And he didn't have much to aim.
I mean, the guy was broke. But a lot of guys are when they're 20 years old, 21 years old. And maybe that's why I need to calm down. Because Giannis is only 22. But still, there's just got to be something that I'm not getting as to why you consistently are losing to these bad teams, why you're consistently not closing out on threes. Justin in North Carolina is next. You're on the Fan. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm so frustrated, baby.
So frustrated, like, dude. I'm trying so hard. You know me, man. I'm not trying to be out here and want to fire anybody, but something's got to change, man.
So this isn't on Kit. This isn't on Sweeney. Like, you know, the players did not play tonight.
Yep.
And I'll put to you a perfect example. At the end of the game, I mean, we had shots that went halfway down and stuff like that, but the Chicago Bulls out-muscled us and outplayed us in our own building. We had a shot. We were down. I think it was 7 or 8 or whatever. They missed 2 free throws and got the rebound on the free throw line.
Yep.
At the end of the game. Like I always talk when me and Sparky always say, defense and rebounds are things that hustle. They're things that can't be taught. You got your pit bulls in there, and those pit bulls were more aggressive on the Chicago Bulls side. Hey, if they want to trade Mirotic, by all means, we'll give them a first-round pick. Give us Lopez, too.
No kidding. No kidding.
You don't want him?
I'll take him. Thank you.
So this is the other thing, baby Cal. So I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but on NBA TV today, they had the G League game with the Wisconsin Herd and the Green. I went to the game. I didn't even think about it. So we have a guy down there, Xavier Munford. He needs to be up on the big squad. He can shoot the ball. We need shooting. We need spacing. He needs to be up on the second unit. He can shoot the ball better than Deli and anything. He's starting in the D League averaging points. But the other guy, Ballin Boy?
Yep, Ballin Boy, yep.
So when you see Portis down there and you see Lopez, you see Mirotic, those guys are pushing Thon, pushing Henson, just pushing guys out the way, taking offensive rebounds. Now, that guy, he's not as long and athletic as those guys. The one thing that you're not going to do, he's a whole grown man. You're not going to push him out that paint. And we need someone that's going to come in and rebound. So I know there's a lot of rumors, and I've been reading and listening to the talking about trading for JaVale McGee and trading for Zaza. I would agree with Zaza. JaVale's another long, skinny dude. We need a tough guy.
JaVale doesn't do anything for me.
At least we know what Zaza's going to do. He's going to rebound the ball, and if you come to the lane. And another thing, Kyle, how Chris Dunn threw down Middleton, if Zaza would have been in that game, Zaza might have popped him in the jaw.
Yep. Yep.
Zaza is your enforcer. We need an enforcer. We need a shooter. And we just got to we gotta go out there and win. We can't have guys playing 75% out there. And I don't know if it's Middleton. And I don't know. I'm not pointing any player out. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not pointing any player out.
Yep, I get you.
But I see those Bulls guys hustling. They're getting to the loose ball. And like your other caller said, man, defending that three is a choice. Stop sagging in. And like Bledsoe, he's a home run hitter on defense. He's going to go in and he's going to get you a steal, get you a block, get you a deflection.
That's what he wants. Yep. That's what he wants.
So we got to do better, man. We like you said, man, we lost to losers tonight. My cousins in Chicago are blowing me and my uncle up with text messages, just having a ball. We're 0-2. This is the equivalent of losing to
– It's like losing to the Bears.
I was going to say the Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Reds. And
man.
Like, this team's horrible. Majority of those guys – I don't even know their – Bulls fans don't even know their name. They know Dunn, they know Levine, and they know Mirotic and Portis. That's because they're ex-Mayweather and Colin McGregor guys. They don't know those guys. Who do we play Thursday? I can't even look at the schedule. I'm so mad.
Yeah, man, I'm so frustrated. But you know what I will say? Chris Dunn's a nice player, and we're going to see the team that he was on. We're taking on the Timberwolves at home. Oh, so you're going to see Jimmy Butler. And you're going to see a really good team, Justin. I don't want to read the next part of the schedule. I'm going to probably do it at the top of the hour because I have to. But the next seven games are against teams with a winning record, so that's one reason why I'm also as frustrated as I am. All right, man, take care out there. All right,
you know what the Bucks will do? They'll show up to play against the good teams and they crap the bed against the bad teams.
Yep, for sure. So we'll have this conversation about 3 weeks from now, huh?
Yeah, we'll probably be like 7-1 and 13, and everyone will stop jumping off the Humboldt Street Bridge and all that other stuff.
But all right, man.
You know I'm going to listen down here, man.
Yep, be good down there, all right, man?
All right, bro.
Justin in North Carolina checking in on the Fan. Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, in with you. Anthony, did we play the shot of the game?
No, we did not play the shot of the game.
Sorry.
Would you like to play the shot
play
of the game?
Right now. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked.
Thon Maker has it. Pass ahead for Giannis. Look at it. Three defenders. Three. Seat of his pants. Bounce pass. Blocked it. Yes!
say.
You'll see that play over and over.
I guess.
12 points for Malcolm Brogdon.
Fantastic.
That is your shot of the game. Jim Paschke, John McLaughlin. What can you say about those guys? I mean, when those two are on the call together, you can just sense the chemistry that those two guys got together. It's great.
A lot of basketball watch between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. There's a ton of basketball that those guys have not only, like you said, not only seen together, but called together, been a part of together. It's great. I like when I can hear both of those guys. You didn't get to hear them in the postseason last year. I know a lot of people were upset about that. But that was your shot of the game here on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, brought to you by Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. It's simple in Dave and Buster's. You eat, you drink, you play, and you watch sports. It's as simple as that. Brett's on the south side of Milwaukee. He called 414-799-1250. Now he's on the Fan. It's simple as that. What's going on, Brett?
Hey, baby Tao. I'll tell you what, it's just like the Packers. If they don't fire Dom Capers at the end of the year, and if they don't fire Jason Kidd next year in the Bucks, I'm not watching them. They have given up 100 points plus in 12 straight.
12 straight games.
With Eric Bledsoe, they got three guys that are top 50 NBA players. There's no reason to lose to the Bulls. I show up to the game tonight. I'm coming out of the Bradley Center right now. I didn't know five of the Bulls players, and I only know Bobby Portis and the other guy who got in a fight because they got in a fight.
Yeah, because they got into a fight, and it was national news.
But I'm a basketball coach, and just hearing Jason Kidd talk about the four-point play justification, I'm a freshman basketball coach. I would have been fired if I would have said to my head coach and lost that game.
Where do you coach at, Brett?
I coach in Beaver Dam.
Okay.
That rationale just tells me he has no idea what he's doing. I think it is stupidity. Some of the stuff, how they defend ball screens, this is a joke. It's a joke.
There was a couple of games, and I don't want to get away from tonight's game because it was so egregious, man. But there was a couple of weeks ago, I was doing the game, and they were taking on the Rockets. I don't know if you caught that game. But later on in the game, the ball screen was what drove me absolutely nuts when Chris Paul was coming off the screen. And I can't even remember the guy's name that was setting it because he was so irrelevant. And you didn't know to step out on the guy that's been an all-star for seven straight years?
I just watched Jason Kidd during timeouts, and I've watched their defense kind of shift around a little bit this year, and I'm glad they're not trapping corner threes anymore.
Yeah.
Swinging the basketball.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely atrocious. I don't care what personnel you have. Don Maker needs to be in the G League, man. He has no upper body strength. He's getting bodied around by Justin Holiday. I thought it was Drew Holiday. We get buckets out there today, but Justin Holiday. I don't even know who that joker is.
Yeah, I don't know when he got into the league.
You know, their defense is so bad. I'm telling you, if they don't start winning a playoff series, I will not be surprised if Giannis Antetokounmpo just walks out that door because they got three guys that can play right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look in ball. There's no reason why they should be giving up 111 shots or 111 points, 100-something shots to the Chicago Bulls who are trying to lose games this year. They're trying to get a top three pick.
Yeah.
Lose games, you know. So until Jason Kidd, it's like Don Capers. If they don't get rid of Jason Kidd after this year and find a real basketball coach, I'm not watching the Bucks or the Packers. It's unreal.
Brett, you got unreal. A name?
Right now, I would like Mark Jackson. I think he'd be a good guy to come in and get some defensive principles installed in these guys and get these want to play defense. I'm sure Kidd on the post-game show today is going to be like, oh, our effort wasn't there tonight, you know?
Yep.
That's how it always goes. When is the coach's responsibility to take charge of that and motivate your guys to play up for these garbage teams? Because, quite frankly, the Eastern Conference has the Western Conference. You got to play up for these teams that can't play.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. This Eastern Conference is not as bad as it used to be. Brett, thanks for the call, man. I got to scoot. And it really does. Because the East is not what the old West was, but the West is not as strong as it had been. There's still some really, really good teams, and there's still a lot of stars out there. Brett made a good point. You gotta be able to play against teams in the Eastern Conference. Troy's in Green Bay is next on the Fan. What's going on, Troy?
What's up, baby Towns?
How you doing, man?
Hey, listen, man. A couple things, man. Tonight, we had 51 minutes off the bench with Liggins, Deli, and Thon, and they had 7 points, okay? And meanwhile, the official bucket getter, Sean Kilpatrick, who had 11 points in 14 minutes the other night, doesn't get in the game. So, you can't look out there and watch. You had those three guys were in the game at the same time. They're struggling. can't – I mean, we were up 9. Those three are in the game. And right away, lead disappears because nobody can score. And you can't see that as a coach. I mean, that's your job. That's the job. That's the whole job. If I was the owners of the Bucks, I would walk into the locker room. I would ask, why didn't Sean Kilpatrick play after he was very productive the other night? And if he tells me some moons and stars things that don't make sense, I would fire Jason Kidd right now because it don't make sense. I mean, that's where the game was lost once again. You brought this guy in because that's what he does is get buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he's been here, you put him out there and he's doing what his job is to get buckets, give the offense a spark, and no minutes tonight. It makes no sense.
And he was active, so Rashad Vaughn could be inactive. Yes, right, head scratching, right.
So, man. That doesn't make sense. But my last thing for you, man. Listen, if you look it up, Giannis Antetokounmpo is having the 12th best season currently. If he on the road he on, the 12th best season of all time, according to PER, 12th best season of all time, and your record is 17-15.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know. I mean, it's virtually impossible to have a player having this good of a season and be as bad as mediocre as the Bucks are. The only way that it can happen, there's only two ways. If the rest of the team is D-League scrubs, which they're not, or your coaching is that bad schematically, where the coaching is killing the talent on the floor.
Yep, which it really might be. Because Troy, we've been talking about the talent on this team. It's too good. There's too much. Right. There's too much talent on this team for them to be as bad as they are. I don't care whatever depth they don't have at certain positions.
Right. Not only is the talent good and too good, but you have a single player who is, like I said, having one of the best seasons in NBA history. If you look at the 11 best, they all went to the conference finals or to the finals. The Bucks aren't going to either. They're not even in the playoffs right now. After tonight.
Yep, after tonight they're out of the playoffs.
So the only way that can happen is if the other guys are that bad, which we all know they're not because you've got other talented players, or the coaching is so bad that it's strangling the talent that's on the team. And that's really what it comes down to. If you're the owner, the only thing you can come to is say, man, we got to try a new coach. We got to try it. There's nothing else we can do. What else is there? If you're Giannis and you're looking at it and you're going, man, guys, I'm having one of the best seasons of all time. I'm carrying you, and we're 17-15?
Yeah. That's got to be frustrating, man.
Step in.
Yep, appreciate it.
Step in and say something.
Appreciate it, Troy. Take it easy up there in Green Bay, all right, man?
All right.
Troy in Green Bay drops off. That opens up a line for you at 414-799-1250. We're going to take a really quick timeout, guys. It's Baby Tausch on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. It's Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll be back right after this.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power online at liuna.com for the Laborers International Union Local 113. They sponsor our defensive play of the game, and it comes from Thon Maker, the shot taker.
Do you ever trip kind of walking across the floor and then you look down to see what trip you? It was you. Here, Dick. See you later. Thon Maker.
No, it's the Dream Taker is how Ted Davis calls Thon Maker. I messed that up. I'm sorry, Ted. I know you're listening. You did a great job tonight on the show. Or on the game, I should say. This is the show, and it's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show. If I can talk, goodness gracious, it's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Hi, nice to meet you. All right, I got that out of the way. Now let's get back to you. Will is in Austin, Texas. Will, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. So I'm actually up here right now. I'm leaving the Bradley Center.
You were at the game?
Yeah, I was at the game. I was just in town for a few days for Christmas, and it's a Christmas present to myself. I got some rather expensive seats for the game. It's my very last event at the Bradley Center. Like I said, Probably been to over 100 events there, any from Bucks games to Admirals games to Milwaukee Mustangs games. It's all that.
I was at a
I've been to one of them.
I got a Mustangs jersey autographed by some guy that wore number 95.
And where's he working now?
Well, he might be at Laborers International Union Local 113. You know, they're feeling the power over there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yes, it sucks that my last game, my last Bucks game, at least at the Bradley Center, was a loss. Where I live, it's Spurs country, and every single time I bring the Bucks up, every single one of my buddies down there that's a Spurs fan just can't tell me enough how much they can't wait till Giannis is on the Spurs and wins 10 rings. And if they don't get their you-know-what together, that may head that way. So, hopefully they can figure this out. But we're about to jump off here. Just want to say, the staff that works at the Bradley Center, they're all class acts.
Yep.
I've had, wonderful experiences there, concerts, games, whatever. It's a great facility. I'm excited. I can't wait to come back next year to see a Bucks game at the new place.
Absolutely, Will. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, man. You take it to him. Hey, safe travels on the way back down there, all right, buddy?
Thank you, sir. Y'all have
Thanks,
a
Will.
Take care.
See you at the Bradley Center.
Yeah.
And
I was having those thoughts when I was here.
Wow.
When I was there watching them lose to the Bulls, whatever, 2 weeks ago.
Man, that's crazy.
A lot of history in that place.
I really haven't even thought about that. I'll get more sentimental into that later on in the year. Wow. That is nuts, because there, like you said, there's a lot of history in that place. There's been a lot of really incredible acts that have walked through there. I mean, think about the guys that have played there. Musical acts, the Stones. I know Springsteen was there a couple of different times.
Paul McCartney, I think, made an appearance.
Paul McCartney, I think, might have played there.
No championships, though.
I mean, man, the list just goes on and on. That's false. Milwaukee Admirals in 2003.
They won that, though, on the road.
On the road, but they played played a Calder Cup final game there.
How cool would that be, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. To clinch a Calder Cup in Milwaukee.
That'd be nice.
All right, all right, Will, I see what you did there. I was being frustrated. I thank you for putting me into a better mood. But he tried to flip the subject. He got me all sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
And made me feel really nice and warm and fuzzy. And I was pissed when I sent this thing to break, right?
Yeah, you were.
I can say pissed, right, Anthony?
Sure.
Cool. All right. Ed is on the north side. Let's see if he's angry. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good, man. How you doing? How's Christmas?
Well, Christmas was good. Christmas was excellent. I've got a little grandson who's 4 years old, and that part of it's beautiful. But
that's incredible,
right now,
man.
Yeah, this just is not good. Part of the problem is here, we're starting a center who's not a center. John Henson weighs 220-some pounds. That's only 10 pounds more than me, and I'm 6 foot tall. that's not the big enough guy to, occupy these centers. And what they're doing is they were talking before the game, I heard Eric Bledsoe talk about them having to help out on rebounds and stuff. Well, then they're not guarding their guys. And this is an ongoing thing. We wind up bringing Thon Maker and Liggins off the bench. They scored, or they played 17 minutes each, 34 minutes, and had 2 points between the two of them and 5 rebounds. That's not good enough. When we say Jason Kidd is bad, and I think he's making some mistakes, a lot of these are defensive mistakes. And, what's he supposed to do? Not play center at all? Or play Giannis at center when he's got 3 fouls already at
right.
the half?
Yep.
You have to do something here. They have to go out and get a center. I talked to you guys last week. I talked about Tyson Chandler. Now I hear JaVale McGee is available. JaVale McGee, his numbers are pretty decent when you figure he's not playing very many minutes.
Yeah. Ed, JaVale McGee doesn't do much for me. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. He definitely brings up a concern. John is small. Lengthwise, he's not. He fits the mold very, very well. But John is small, and that's been something that everybody's known for a while. But JaVale McGee just doesn't do much for me. His best years are 5 or 6 years ago.
He left Washington.
Since he left Washington, he plays with the best team in the league, the best team I've ever seen, and it's pretty wild. I don't understand that he gives you any more than the improvement that you could be getting out of Thon Maker, and the improvement you could be getting, and you already have gotten from John Henson. I was hoping to get somebody in from the locker room tonight. I don't know if we are or not, but we will if they dial us up on the hotline. You can dial us up at 414-799-1250 and talk about the Bucks' loss. Anthony, I got to get to this after the break.
Saw your eyebrows go up there.
Alex Lazary posted on Twitter today, that 38 minutes ago, that was awful. Cannot or can't have 20 turnovers. Absolute stinker at home. Then put underneath, responded to his own tweet and said, and give up 15 offensive rebounds. Can't play like that. Whoa. Alex Lazary taken to Twitter with some frustrations. A lot of people have been as well. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. We're going to discuss those comments next, and that's got to be addressed. Alexander Lazary, if you're listening, he's a friend of the station. If you're listening, call up, man. We'd love to talk to you. But there is just, you can't play basketball like that. I couldn't put it better myself. You can't play basketball like that. We'll discuss it next on The Fan.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch in tonight. After a 115-106 loss to the Chicago Bulls, it's the second time you've lost to the Bulls in 11 days. The Bulls, coming in tonight, were 10-22. That is not good.
You know what makes it worse?
What makes it worse, Anthony?
I was there the last time they were in town, on a theme night, crawling with Bulls fans.
Yeah, there were
crawling
a lot tonight,
with
too.
Bulls fans.
The crowd was, for as packed as it was, they called it a sellout on Ted Davis's call earlier tonight. I believe it was. It was packed up in there. And it was surprisingly just mellow.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the Bulls were hitting shots, I didn't hear too much. But the question tonight has been, is it stupidity or is it stubbornness? And I still haven't been able to sort it out because something has to change and something's gotta be tweaked in how you consistently are losing to bad teams and how you're consistently not only not showing up for bad teams, but you're consistently not knowing where you're supposed to switch out. You're consistently not knowing how to stay in a passing lane to prevent a cross-court pass, but are continuing to struggle with help side defense and moving the ball around. And late in the games, you're not moving the ball. You have three. Somebody said it earlier tonight. I think it was Troy said it. You have three top 50 players in the NBA. Two of those three guys should touch the ball every single time down the floor, or 75% of the time down the floor. There's a lot of changes. I understand it. The ball moves around, and fast breaks go down. You want to have a lot of breakaway steals. So 75% of the time, 60% of the time even, those guys should all touch the ball on every possession. And why the ball can't move, and why on earth you can't defend the three? Bulls only shot 35% tonight. They only hit 10. That's great to say. They only hit 10. They hit 10 last time they were in here. But you just got beat tonight. You got beat tonight in hustle plays. You turn the ball over 20 times. Alex Lazary said it on Twitter, and he was pissed. Mark's in Waukesha. You're next on The Fan. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Hey, good. Was at the game, and, I had season tickets for 15 years. Finally, after the 3 years of Scotty Scales experiment, I just couldn't take it anymore. My blood pressure after every game.
I was there for all of those as well, too, man. Those were frustrating.
So, I don't know how many years it's been between, but my wife said, hey, let's get into that new arena. Well, they make you take the season before, so
right.
Here I am.
That's awesome.
Am
Where are you sitting at?
Center court. I've got great seats, probably about maybe 20 rows up.
That's awesome.
And so I do a lot of coach watching.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse my dogs here. I do a lot of coach watching, and he's sitting, you know, on his chair, or he's up, standing up, you know, with his hands in his pocket. And so,
Mark, I'm going to let you go attend to those dogs. They seem like they need some.
No, they're outside.
They're just mad about the Bucks loss.
They're pissed too. Yeah. It was a 115-106 loss.
Yeah. So, anyways, you know. There is no movement. There's no movement. They're backing away from the basket. I don't know how many times. I think we lead the league in shots, you know, either, you know, within 2 seconds of the 24 second clock expiration. It's just, you know, and I see the Bulls coach, both of them. There's a defense, you know, I don't even know who the coach is, but I assume it's whoever's
Hoiberg is up there. Yeah. He's moving around the whole time.
And their defensive coach, they're up all the time. They're directing. They're waving their arms. We have nothing. You know, I don't know if our coach has even got a T this year. I mean, there is no blood, you know, going through those veins with that guy.
All right. And, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it, man. We gotta figure out what's going on with those dogs. Those things are going nuts. I couldn't take it.
You couldn't?
No, I couldn't. I was getting a headache. But Mark brings up a lot of good points. And people are always talking about, the effort or the intensity is probably the better word to put it as of coaches on the sideline. People rip on Mike McCarthy for it all the time. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I don't think that it changes too much. One guy that I know is a pretty good coach and that guy is always working is Rick Carlisle. So I guess I really respect him a lot. Maybe that does make you a better coach, but I've never been a guy that is going to sit here and question a coach's, you know, intensity or knowledge of the game. Jason Kidd knows basketball. Now, does he know how to teach it? That's another question. That's definitely another question. Alan in Johnson Creek, you're on the Fan. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem. What's happening?
Hey, I was at the game tonight, and I like to bring up a few things. One is the ball movement and offense, like you mentioned. It was just pass, and everybody watched Giannis make a move or Bledsoe try to make a move, and you see the Bulls, like you said, and they're moving the ball. Everybody touches it, causes a little chaos, and that's just the way to play offense, and it doesn't look pretty when the Bucks do it.
Mm-mm.
The second thing is, I don't want to harp on it, but everybody knows the Bucks give up corner threes. That's the three that everybody wants to shoot.
Right.
And the Bucks just continue to give it up. It's been years of this. I don't know if kid can't adapt or what's going on, but that's one thing that a coaching philosophy that's just not working.
Well, Alan, I was asking it earlier. I'd love to get your is it stupidity or is it stubbornness?
Yeah, my wife and I went to the game, and I was thinking the same thing. Is he coaching it, but they can't do it, or is he just stubborn, or is it all the above? I mean, I have no idea. It's years of this watching the game. I watch every game. I've been going to games since I was 8. And it's horrendous to watch time after time. That corner three, and that's the three everybody wants to shoot, and they give it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And because you know what, Alan? It's the most, it's right now, it's the most high percentage shot on the floor for your return on investment. It's the shortest three, and everyone wants to shoot the three.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know he's the best coach in basketball, but why? It's a copycat league. Why not do what Popovich does? Take people off the three and make them shoot long twos. I don't know if you're on the right personnel, but you shoot threes and give up layups. I don't know what we can do on defense. I mean, it's pretty simple if you think about it, but we can't do it.
Yep, I agree.
Coaching philosophy, it's pretty brutal. Yeah,
I agree, man. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Alan in Johnson Creek dialed 414-799-1250. He drops off. That opens up a line for you. And it opens up a line for you to call up while I read the box score tonight, because Anthony Mandela pointed at me and told me, Billy, we played the box score open and you didn't read it. For goodness sakes, what is it?
That's exactly what I said.
Inside the Box Score, brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video, simply done right, online at abcaudiovideo.com. The box score tonight is really just not friendly. I read over it a couple of different times, and then I got sick to my stomach, and I had to go and get some water. and calm myself down because I'm going to read you some of the numbers from individuals, but I really want to focus on the team stats tonight. I don't know how many times Sparky does that. Focuses on the team stats because the team stats tonight are absolutely atrocious when you look at it. Let's first look at field goal percentage. The Bucks shoot 47%. The Bulls, 43.7%. Should win most of those games. Bucks shot 32.3% from three. Each team made 10 threes. Wash there. Rebounding. You get out-rebounded by six. Big whoop. You're undersized. You're playing against a team with Robin Lopez. He can rebound the ball. Bobby Portis, he doesn't care. He's going to rebound the ball regardless. Nwabe, I believe is how you pronounce that guy's name. I met him watched him for the first time a couple of weeks ago. He's a nice little player. Assists. You get out assists by three. And then we come to the two stats that made me sick when I had to go and get some water. Steals. 11 steals for the Chicago Bulls tonight. Four of those coming from Chris Dunn. Two blocks coming from Chris Dunn. Let's look at Chris Dunn really quick while we continue with the box score. Chris Dunn is 6'4", and he had three blocks tonight. Awesome. You turned the ball over 17 times. I think they're being kind of nice. Alex Lazary counted 20. Ted Davis seemed to count about 18, I believe, in the third quarter. So the turnovers tonight were one of the biggest issues, and the Bucks giving possessions away from the Chicago Bulls, and that comes and results in the Chicago Bulls shooting 45 of 103. They shot 103 shots tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks had 83. They took 20 more shots. 20 more shots. 15 offensive rebounds. How does that taste? Now you understand why I got sick during the second segment, Anthony. I'll just run through a couple of the individual numbers. The Milwaukee keg goes for 28 from Giannis. He was 11 of 17 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Had 7 rebounds and 4 assists as well. 22 from Middleton, or from Bledsoe, excuse me. 8 of 14. He was 3 of 6 from 3. 3 of 9 from 3. 5 of 18 in 39 minutes for just 16 points was Chris Middleton. He pitched in 5 boards and 3 assists. 30 minutes off the bench for Malcolm Brogdon. 7 of 11. 18 points. The guy continues to just be an absolute beast off the bench for the Bucks tonight. 24 points off the bench in 28 minutes for Nikola Mirotic. 28 minutes and 24 points. 9 of 18 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3. Lauri Markkanen, you thought he was going to be one of the guys that contributes to maybe the Bulls beating the Bucks twice in 11 days. No, he only had 3 points. He had 13 points from Denzel Valentine, 5 of 10 from the field, 5 of 12 from the field was Robin Lopez. He only grabbed 4 rebounds. And you got out-rebounded by 6, and you had 15 offensive rebounds. So let's let that one sit as well. Their big that everyone was worried about, Robin Lopez, had 4 rebounds. He also had 10 points. Chris Dunn, 9 of 17. Shooting at 20, 15 from Justin Holiday, and like I said, 24 from Nikola Mirotic off the bench. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. It was disgusting. It was a 115-106 Bucks loss to the Bulls as they falter late. Teams were tied at 83, and the Bucks went down in the third quarter by 9. That's how they lost it. And a game that you were up for quite a bit of the game. You got outscored by 8 going into half. And a couple of different times, the Bucks looked absolutely lost. We're going to hear from Jason Kidd next. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Before we take a quick timeout, let's get the ruler of the backboard.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
Ruler of the backboard, the ruler of pizza, is the Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, presented by Palermo's, the ruler of great taste, the ruler of the backboard. You ever had one of those Palermo's King Cheese frozen pizzas? I've been telling you to do it for quite some time.
You going to do this to me again?
Yeah, I'm going to do it to you again.
Every single time, aren't you?
Have you gotten it?
No.
Awesome. Great. Ruler of the backboard, the Bulls on the offensive end of the floor. They have 15 offensive rebounds tonight, and they make the Bucks commit 17 turnovers. They're marking them in the stat sheet, and they're being friendly. There were more than that. There were 11 steals, three of which came from Chris Dunn. He also pitched in 20 points, and the Bulls beat the Bucks for the second time in 11 days. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, in tonight, talking Bucks. We're going to hear from Jason Kidd next, right here on The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner. Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, the official postgame show of the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show right here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer going to be back in this seat, I believe, this weekend, Friday night. Bucks, they lose tonight. That's fun. 115-106. Gets a lot easier. Now you start a stretch against seven teams with winning records, and you lost to the Chicago Bulls, who coming into tonight were 10-22. Team that at the beginning of the year all but came out and said, we're going to try to lose some games. We're going to try to get a high draft pick. Drafted Lauri Markkanen, traded Jimmy Butler, got a guy that has a torn ACL. He's not playing for you. And instead, you lose to the Bulls. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. I'm just frustrated. I opened up the show tonight and kind of just yelled and just yelled for a while about is it stubbornness or is it stupidity that's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks? Because something's got to change. You can't lose to teams like this, and especially in a stretch where you played them 11 days ago and you lost by almost the exact same score. You lost by more this week. That was 115-109. You lost by 115-106. I guess we're splitting hairs. But are you kidding? To the Bulls again? Sooner or later, you got to either wake up or you wake up and do something. Because either you're going to wake up tomorrow and get ready to go play the Timberwolves on Thursday at your place. Timberwolves are pretty good. Jimmy Butler's on that team. So is Andrew Wiggins. So is Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm already having nightmares trying to figure out how they're going to defend that. Then you get to go to OKC and play that team who tromped you last time. They came in here and scoffed and laughed at the Bucks and beat them by 25. And they haven't been playing all that well. And you got three superstars on that team, so that'll be fun. Then you go out and play Toronto on the first of the year. That's the team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year, right, Anthony Mandela?
Yep.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure.
Then I was at that game.
Then you take on the Indiana Pacers, who are surprisingly good this year. Then you get Toronto again, so that's fun. And then you get Washington. So you go 8 days in a row where you play Toronto, or you play. Wow, my math skills aren't good. You play 5 games in 8 days. You play Toronto, you play Indiana. You play Toronto, you play Washington, you play Indiana. That's after you take on Minnesota and Oklahoma City. So strap in. It doesn't get much better. It's a long road. And it winds. And it's painful. That's why you had to get this win tonight. You lost by 11. By 9. Anthony, thank you. Yes. My math skills are really just not that good.
You're welcome. That was all me there. I gave it to you.
I appreciate it. Jason Kidd's math skills might not be very good because his team can't add up the points that they need to win the game. Let's hear from him now.
You know, coach, a season high in turnovers and just an inability to get stops there, especially in the fourth quarter. You know, what did you see from your team tonight?
Yeah, we were sloppy. You know, just a shoot around, no practice the last couple of days. But there's no excuse. Again, Chicago came out with energy and effort for 48 minutes, and we just couldn't match it.
How disappointing is it for two times on your home court to not match their energy and effort?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, this is a great, you know, lesson learned not to look at the record. You know, Chicago was 7-2, I think, in their last nine. The losses were Boston and Cleveland, right? And so they're one of the hottest teams in the league. And again, the last time we saw them, they played the same way. You know, share the ball, make shots, put pressure on your defense. And then if you can't share the ball or if you over dribble, you know, they put you in a bad way on the offensive end. So this is something that we'll watch tomorrow, and hopefully we can get better and get ready for Minnesota.
Yeah, what does it say if guys are looking at the record, like you said, when you're facing a team for the second time in 11 days, a team that beat you the first time?
Yeah, it's just maturity. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we're a young team, and this is going to be a team that's going to go up and down and understand the growing pains of losing to a team like Chicago. Chicago's a good team. They're well coached. They play hard. You know, everybody's going to count them out. So what do they have to lose, right? And so for us, we have to do a better job of understanding what's at stake, and we just didn't do that tonight.
Coach, what do you think led to the 11 offensive rebounds in that second half? First half limited them to 4, and they came back with 11 in the second.
That's just who we are. We can't rebound the ball. You know, we just hope and pray that the ball, someone gets it. And so when that happens, we're going to get, you know, killed. And we got killed again. And if we don't rebound the ball, you know, when we play Minnesota, it'll be the same thing. And so it's an easy fix. Just rebound the ball. You know, do the little things. Everybody's worried about scoring the ball. If we can pay a little bit more attention to the misses and come up with the rebounds like we do when we want to score the ball, then we'll solve that problem. But until then, we'll still get out rebounding, and we'll still get our ass kicked.
We talk about being young. How do you get out of that phase of just having that as something to lean on, that you're a young team and you're still learning?
It's not that we're not leaning on it. It's the truth. You guys can write that we're a super team and that we're really good and we got the big three or the brew three. We're a young team that's learning how to play the game at a high level with expectations that are a little bit too high, right? And so understanding no one in that locker room has ever won. And so they're learning how to win as a team. And it's going to be tough nights like tonight where you're going to have to come out and you're going to have to, you know, give a little bit more energy on the defensive end, and we just didn't do that tonight.
Was there any particular reason behind not playing Sean Kilpatrick? Is there any injury or?
No, his name just wasn't pulled in the lottery, that's all.
Now, a Bucks post-game update from fan insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show.
He said his name didn't get pulled in the lottery. That's why Sean Kilpatrick didn't play tonight. That's good. To the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. This guy always makes me feel better. From the Racine Journal-Times, wolfelspressbox.com. It's Gary Wolfel, our Bucks insider, here on The Fan. Gary, what on earth is going to have to change for the Bucks to be able to beat the Chicago Bulls? I can't believe I'm saying that, man. Can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, I know. And to be quite frank with you, it's inexcusable. This garbage about the Bucks being young. I mean, we brought this up in a recent post-game show. That's nonsense. I mean, you know, Eric Bledsoe isn't a rookie or young.
Mm-mm. No, not a spring chicken.
Middleton isn't a new kid on the block. John Hanson's been around a while. Those are three of your starters. Giannis is 23, but he's been in the league for now. And who am I missing? Tony Snell's a veteran.
Mm-hmm. Veteran. John Hanson's been in the league for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Dellavedova coming off the bench.
Won a championship. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so, I mean, that's getting really old. And, you know, they just were ill-prepared to play this game. That's the bottom line.
Jason Kidd said it the best, man. I mean, he just put it that, you know, if you continue to play like this and you continue to just not hustle sometimes and give yourself just situations where you don't want to play hard, is this the cut, Anthony, that I wanted to play for Gary Wolfel?
Yeah, this is the cut you wanted to play.
Can you hit it really
Gary
quick
Wolfel
for me?
Yeah, let's give it a listen.
It's an easy fix. Just rebound the ball. You know, do the little things. Everybody's worried about scoring the ball. If we can pay a little bit more attention to the misses and come up with the rebounds like we do when we want to score the ball, then we'll solve that problem. But until then, we'll still get out rebounding and we'll still get our ass kicked.
I mean, where else does it change, Gary? That's hustle, well, that's intensity, and that's effort.
Well, you know, going back to what I said before about preparation, I mean, you heard the old adage, you know, preparation is the key to life. And
yep.
They have played the Bulls now several times in the last couple of years where Mirotić has absolutely killed them. He had an exceptional game last year on the perimeter. He had one last week on the perimeter. So you would think, okay, these guys are smart enough to know that if they want to beat the Bulls, they got to keep Mirotić in check. And what happens? What did he get, 24?
24 tonight, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like they didn't learn their lesson. And, you know, if they want to be a very good team, they got to start paying attention to detail. And it was painfully obvious in the fourth quarter that they didn't, so. We'll see.
And like you said, it's just not going to change until there's a change in the preparation, it seems like. And I asked it earlier, Gary, is it stubbornness or is it stupidity? Because like you just pointed to, Nikola Mirotić has killed you when he's come in here, and you allowed him to beat you tonight? You allowed Chris Dunn to just bully at times and blow past people? Where do you miss that in the scouting report? That's the only way Chris Dunn's really going to beat you.
Well, I mean, what's even more appalling is a couple of players after the game were saying, you know, Mirotić is a great player. Excuse me? He's a great player against you guys.
Right, because they want to run the guy out. They want to run him out with pitchforks down there in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, last time I checked, he hasn't been on any All-Star teams. So. Mm-mm. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's preparation and knowing how to guard people in certain situations, knowing their strengths, their weaknesses. And, you know, Giannis, bless him, you know, he played hard tonight and he played well. But in the fourth quarter, twice he was really slow in closing out on Mirotić, you know, and Mirotić hit big baskets. Well, when the game's on the line, you can't have those breakdowns.
No. No, and there were multiple times, Gary, tonight where the defensive switches and the defensive intensity was just and just wherewithal of where you were on the floor, it seemed to just go away.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy thing is, you know, everybody talks about, you know, certain teams in the East, you know, being young and good, like Philadelphia, for instance. But I'll tell you what, Chicago took some hits early in the season. But they got some good young pieces, and think of this, they'll definitely be back in the lottery, so at least theoretically they should get a very good player, and then they're going to have a ton of money to spend on a free agent this summer, and there's a lot of guys, trust me, that want to play in Chicago. So, you know, all of a sudden they had two more pieces to the puzzle here, and they could be pretty darn good.
And how about that? Like you said, it's a pillar organization in the NBA. I don't care what anybody says. When you look at the Chicago Bulls, it's hard for me to see any player not wanting to go play there. And frankly, I don't know his day-to-day operations. I don't know exactly how his preparation. People seem to be, you know, ticked off with Fred Hoiberg, but he seems to have a pretty good grasp on figuring out how Chris Dunn can play and letting him work through his faults, because I think he's a really, really good player that seemed to be given up on a little bit too soon.
Yeah, and I talked to some Bulls officials earlier today, and they're sky high in Markkanen, the kid they drafted in the first round of the lottery. And he didn't play well, you know, in the first half, and that was a credit to Giannis. I mean, Giannis did a number on him. He didn't know what was coming at him. And but, you know, eventually he's going to be good. I mean, one guy in the organization told me, said, quote, he's a generational type player. Whoa.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to, you know, I don't buy that for a second, but he's going to be a pretty darn good player. And like you said, Dunn's going to be a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Valentine's going to be solid. I think Portis is solid. And what's his name? Levine is, you know, still.
Is still young. Back. And he's an athletic, gifted guy. I mean, there's talent on this team that they're really just not that far away.
Correct. And like I said, you know, you had a lottery pick and you had a free agent, and they're going to be in play again next season.
Gary, what are you working on over at Wolfel's Press Box?
Well, I'm going to do something on Mr. Toledovich and in his situation. And
It doesn't sound real promising.
Okay.
The people I talked to, but, you know, hopefully he'll be back at the end of the season. But, again, it seems unlikely that he will.
Were you able to talk to him at all? How are his spirits?
I talked to them, was it last week? Just real briefly, stopped in the locker room. I said, hi, how are you doing? But that was the extent of it. But, yeah, it's tough on him. I mean, it would be tough on anybody to lose their job, you know? So
yeah, no kidding. It's something you can't control either.
Precisely. So, you know, hopefully everything will work out for Mirza. I was going to say Miritich.
No, he's going to haunt us for the rest of the night, Gary.
He's doing quite well, yes.
Gary, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you, I believe, on Thursday.
Sounds good. Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary Wolfel from Wolfel's Press Box, Racine Journal-Times, our Milwaukee basketball insider here on The Fan. We're going to take a quick timeout on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Hear from the locker room. Hear from some of those frustrated Bucks fans as well. Still some time for you to jump aboard. It's 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250 to tell us if it's stubbornness or stupidity as to the reason why the Bucks continue to lose to bad teams. And tonight, it was the Chicago Bulls. It was 115-106. Keep it locked. You're on the Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, and the official postgame show of your Milwaukee Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, the ruler of taste. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The only station Bucks fans need at Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're going inside the locker room. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, here on the air at the Bradley Center. It was the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, getting the audio, and he was there when John Henson spoke to the media.
The second time against the Bulls, they've got a bunch of offensive rebounds. What is it about them that makes it hard on you guys?
I mean, they crash. And so, you know, we didn't take it seriously the first game. And, this game, they got a whole bunch of second chances. And all in all, though, we had a chance to win the game and put it out of reach. But credit to them, man. They play hard. They haven't given up on their season. And, that's a credit to them and their coaching staff.
Is it disheartening to have that happen twice against the same team, that you have that kind of effort that maybe might not be good enough on that night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the emphasis they put is crash. It's kind of up to us to take that into account and help each other box out. When the guards get switched onto the bigs and vice versa. There's a few plays where I could have came down there as well. So, got to do a better job.
Jason mentioned that you guys are a young team and dealing with expectations that are too high.
That is something that we have to learn to deal with, especially with the type of players we have. We've got a pretty established locker room. We've got an all-star in here. We've got guys that have been, to the playoffs, guys that have won championships. That's what comes with it. We got to do a better job of playing harder, being consistent every night. And, even last year, we didn't go on our run until February, March. So, there's still time.
How do you try to flip that switch? Is there a way to try to flip that switch? Because it seems like it should be something that you can have that effort, but sometimes it just isn't that way.
Like I said, we just got to find a way to be consistent. Like I said, we got a young team, but we're established. People in this locker room. And so I think it's up to us to get it together. Like I said, man, the playoffs, I think we're a game and a half, if not a game, out of home court advantage. So, I don't think we're not living up to expectations. So we're just fourth seed 2 days ago. So just got to get back on the road. Two tough games with OKC and Minnesota. So we'll be fine.
That was perfect. John Henson. John Henson just hit the nail right on the head. So Jason Kidd just before said that this is a young team that we all have to pump our brakes. We all want to win every game. It's nuts. And they're young guys. They haven't won championships. They're still learning how to win this league. I'm slapping my microphone all over the place.
I don't like that excuse.
Because I just got as aggravated or worse than I was when I first got on the air over an hour ago after the game.
after you lost 115-106. So he just said, Jason Kidd just said, I don't know if we have the cut already, but the guys are working on it from the, here it is. Matt Velasquez tweeted it out. So Jason Kidd says this on why the team can't win games. We're not leaning on it. It's the truth. You guys can write that we're a super team and that we're really good and we've got the big three or the brew three. We're a young team that's learning how to play the game at a high level with expectations that are a little bit too high, understanding that no one in that locker room has ever won, so we're learning how to win as a team. It's going to be tough nights like tonight when you're going to have to come out and you're going to have to give a little bit more energy on the defensive end, and we just didn't do that tonight. Let's go back to this part. Understanding that no one in that locker room has ever won, so we're learning how to win as a team. I'm sorry. Does Matthew Dellavedova not have a ring on his finger?
Pretty sure he does.
Pretty sure he does. Pretty sure he's won something.
From a team you just beat.
Now, Jason Terry's been around a long time. I understand that he doesn't play that much.
Yeah, that's okay.
You don't have to light up the phone lines and the Twitter line because I said Jason Terry's name talking about him as an integral part of this team. But that's why he has a contract. Because he's been on those kinds of teams. That's why you gave $10 million to Matthew Dellavedova. Because he was on those teams. Eric Bledsoe's played in the playoffs. Hell, he played in a Final Four. So don't come out here and tell me these guys haven't won anything. That's crap. And John Henson then goes out and ousts his head coach for it. Straight up ousts him. Says we got an all-star. We've got guys that have been to the playoffs. A lot of them were on the team last year when you went to the playoffs. Fun fact. Tony Snell's also played in the playoffs. He played on a couple of really, really good teams. If I can remember correctly, the Chicago Bulls were a pretty good team when he was on the team.
They sure were.
Yeah, they were pretty good, if I remember correctly. So he's been in the playoffs. Crazy. That goes against contrary demand. DeAndre Liggins went to a Final Four, I'm pretty sure. I understand it's the NCAA.
Was he not part of the Cavaliers championship run?
DeAndre Liggins?
He doesn't have a ring, but he's played in a finals.
He's played in a finals. He's played in an entire playoff run.
And that's not an excuse.
That's not. That's not an excuse.
Guess what? Did the Spurs have a history of great success before you put Tim Duncan and the Admiral and Popovich and Parker and Ginobili together?
You cannot look me in the eyes and tell me that John Henson did not just call out his head coach. Anthony, can you back that John Henson's back up? It's right over where somebody hits the microphone and there's a big spike. So it's right after that. And John Henson here is asked why this team is having trouble closing out games and having trouble beating bad teams. Here's what John Henson said.
No, that is something that we have to learn to deal with, especially with the type of players we have. You know, we've got a pretty established locker room. You know, we've got an all-star in here. We've got guys that have been, you know, to the playoffs, guys that have won championships. So, you know, that's what comes with it. We got to do a better job of playing harder, being consistent every night. And, you know, even last year, we didn't go on our run until February, you know, March. So, you know, still time.
So there's still time, and you didn't hit your mark till February last year. Cool. This isn't last year. And I agree what John Henson just said. We have guys that have won championships. We have guys that have played in the playoffs. And we have a starter on the all-star team. And you just added another guy that's a top 50 player in the NBA. So don't tell me that this team is all that young. Yeah, Giannis has played in the league for 4 years. I get it. I do. And Jabari Parker, this will be his third year in the NBA, right? 3 years in the NBA.
Yep.
But he's not on the floor. So that doesn't count. You can't just throw something in there and just slide it in there and just, well, we're a really young team. Uh-uh. No. Age-wise, maybe.
NBA-wise, no. You've already paid Giannis. You had to pay him. You paid him $100 million. No one is arguing that you should have paid him $100 million. But you don't give rookies $100 million. So he's had to have been in the league for some time. That guy sounds like somebody that's coaching scared. That's what that sounds like. Understanding that no one in that locker room has ever won, so we're learning how to win as a team. That dude is coaching scared. And I would be too when John Henson's coming out here saying what he just said. We've got guys that have won championships in the year. We've got guys that have been in the playoffs. We have an all-star. We got to somehow figure out how to play hard every night. So either A, the guys you have in there that we think are really, really good aren't really, really good because they can't play 82 games hard. Or you're feeding me a load of bull that this team is too young and I don't know what I can do. I need more veterans. Well, Jason, can I ask you something, Jason? How did that go in Brooklyn? How did it go in Brooklyn when you had three guys that were over the age of 35? They were young. Those guys won championships, right? You're able to do a lot with them, right? Unbelievable. Now I'm figuring out the answer to my question. I've been asking it all night. Is it stupidity or is it stubbornness? It's both. And there's one more S in there. Scared. Guy's scared for his job. Chris Middleton talked after the game as well. This is the part of the show on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show where we go inside the locker room, and that is what we're doing right now with Chris Middleton here on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
As a team, you guys were a little sloppy tonight, season high 20 turnovers. What were you guys seeing out there?
Just like you said, sloppy with the ball. At least we were trying to be unselfish at times, but you just got to be better with the ball, especially with a team like them. They play hard. They're all over the place flying around, so we just have to do a better job taking care of the ball and just taking care of each possession.
What is it about the Bulls, you know, twice in the past 2 weeks that kind of got your number and really
just made something against? I don't know. I mean, I think we've been playing to the level of our competition. Every time we do that, it never works out for us. We have to play our basketball night in and night out. When we do that, we're a great team. We just can't play to the level of the competition. I'm not going to talk about that, yeah.
And, you know, Jason mentioned after the game that, you know, you guys are dealing with being young and not having very much experience, and he said dealing with too high expectations that are too high. How do you feel about that?
Being that position before a couple of years ago, I mean, it didn't do well with it. Hopefully I wish we could have grown out of that experience, but right now we're still going through it. So I've been through it before. Giannis been through it before. John, Jet. We have to do a better job of just owning the expectations and playing that basketball, playing up to the level we're capable of playing every night and not to the competition or against who we're playing.
Hey, Bucks fans, let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's, famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas.
Chili's, chilling since 75. You ever go over to Chili's, Anthony Mandela?
I have.
So one time, and this is going to be crazy for you to think of. So I am a larger guy. I played football over at Carroll, and we would always make a big point. Five or six of us would go over there, and we would go somewhere different for dinner every night before a game. And Chili's was one of the nights that we went. And we all sat down. A bunch of our friends work at Chili's, so we got a couple of those little lava cakes or whatever, or what they call Moultons, I believe they are. There's ice cream, chocolate cake. It's just flowing out. It's insane. But we sit down, and all of us order the 2-for-20, like individual 2-for-20s. And the look on this woman's face was that of sheer amazement. And it was the same look that I had on my face when I heard John Henson who is your Chili's MVP tonight, calling out his head coach. That's what it sounded like to me. So we got guys that won championships, guys that know how to win, guys that have been to the playoffs. We can't do what we did tonight. Chris Middleton just said we can't play down to our competition. Oh, you did tonight. So John Henson is your Chili's MVP for simply standing up and doing what was right. Thank you, John. And sorry, Jason Kidd, but that is not how you talk to Bucks fans, saying that expectations are too high. I got to go. It's Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show here on The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt. Talk to you on Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.